Good morning. My name is Ian Zeckler, and I am a senior at San Bruno High School. And next year, I plan to go to Sac State for biology. Woohoo! Okay. When I was younger, the thing I wanted most was an armadillo. I remember praying for one every day and telling God, if you're real, you'll give me an armadillo. I knew God as someone who cared and loved me deeply. So I thought, if this didn't happen, like, why? What is supposed to come out of this if he doesn't give me what I ask for? I was used to being told of all the good things God does in our lives, but I never really saw it for myself. When I was in middle school, I struggled a lot with my self-esteem, and I didn't feel like my presence was worthy. I had a hard time making friends, and I spent a lot of my time angry at God. I was wondering, like, where are you leading me? I lost my faith that God was there for me. I felt so alone, and no matter how much I expressed my sadness to God, I felt like I was being ignored. Moving back to Marin for high school completely changed the way I viewed God. I was overwhelmed by people welcoming me, and that was something that felt unfamiliar. At this moment, I felt so blessed to have people in my life that cared about me. The summer after my sophomore year, I went to Unite, which was basically a church camp in San Diego. While we were there, the speakers made a point of repeating Psalm 23 just about every day, ingraining it in our brains. Psalms chapter 23, verses 1 through 4 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake." When I read this verse, I envision this picture of God walking next to me along quiet waters and lead me down this path towards peace. This is where God invites us so he can teach us something new. I eventually came to the realization that Jesus didn't abandon me in middle school. Even when I felt alone, he was shaping and teaching me to trust him, just like how sheep trust their shepherd. Things didn't get better for me immediately, but as I look back, I see that he had been guiding me down a specific path during the season that before felt impossible to understand. At the time, I felt like I was lacking everything, friends, confidence, and a sense of belonging. But moving back to Marin felt like God was bringing those things back to my life. This essentially allowed me to realize and appreciate all of the things God was bringing in my life, like a community of people who, a community of people who love me for who I am and care about me like Jesus does. I wouldn't be able to appreciate all these things if I was still blind to how God was actively working in my life and through my hardships. I no longer see him as an indifferent God. Instead, he's become a gentle father in my eyes, a father that is with you in your struggles solely because he wants to. Throughout life, I've learned the importance of giving God your baggage. Every day, even if it's something tiny, I give God all the things I worry about. The act of giving my worries to someone who isn't burdened by them makes my soul feel renewed and refreshed, like it says in Psalm 23. I feel lighter and at peace. God is not absent from our lives, even though it may feel like it at times. He is always walking next to us, wanting to lead each of us beside quiet waters and teach us something new. In order to do that, we have to give him our baggage and our worries and trust that he will provide peace. So my invitation for you all today is when you find yourself worrying about something, whether it's big or small, give it to God. Instead of carrying yourself, you need to trust that he is already leading you down the right path, even if you can't see where it goes. I'm now going to invite up our next speaker, Daniel Gilmore.
Good morning, church. My name is Daniel Gilmore. I'm a senior at San Marin High School, and I will be attending Diablo Valley College in the fall to play football and study business. As a lot of you probably already know, but I've grown up in this church my whole life. For the last 18 years, I've been showered with nothing but love and care from this church, and I can't wait to carry that on into my future endeavors. Now, I thought about coming up here to preach on how good of a Christian I've been over the last 18 years, but lying is probably not the best idea in the church. For my first 14 years of life leading up to high school, I was the picture-perfect church boy, coming every Sunday, every Wednesday to youth group, attending morning devotionals, Tuesday morning at Diane Woodall's house, learning about Jesus and eating some good food. I had it all figured out, it seemed. As I started my journey into high school, I found myself becoming obsessed and losing the innocence my eighth grade self had. Playing football, getting the girls, impressing others was all I seemed to care about. Watching my ego grow year to year and consuming myself. Watching my ego grow year to year and consuming myself. Now this year has been a big change in my faith journey. During football season, I was at an all-time high, playing some of the best football I've ever played. But at the peak of it, I suffered a grueling injury, tearing my ACL and meniscus, leaving my future uncertain. As I continued, I had to receive surgery, leaving me to struggle with the pain and discomfort. During this time, I had a lot of self-reflection. At first, it was anger and sadness, asking myself and God, why me? Why did this have to happen? As I would lie in bed there would be long nights full of depression, not knowing what my future may hold. As I laid in bed, there was one thing that always came back to me, which was a verse that my father loved and that has stuck with me my whole life, which was Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So in the depths of darkness, I was able to see a light that could comfort me, changing my question from why did this happen to what can this lead to? Relating back to the verse, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, showing that even in the worst times of struggle and pain, God can command you to be strong and courageous because he promises that he will be with us wherever we go. We are able to have this strength and courage when we learn to trust him, even in times of uncertainty. In this season, God allowed me to trust his plan for me and that there's more to life than just football. My whole life has always been about sports, where I'm going to play college ball, and how I'm going to get there. But now shifting to a perspective that football isn't everything, and that Jesus can be a big part of my life if I fully let him into it. Now, Shelley asked me to answer this question, what does it mean to offer your life to Jesus? I believe offering your life to Jesus is being able to put all aspects of your life on the table and giving it all to him, allowing yourself to trust God and the plan he has for you. Something I've personally struggled with is living a double life, so separating my religious life from my social life. I believe the only way to offer your life to Jesus is by surrendering yourself to him and trusting that no matter what is thrown at you, there is a place and a purpose for you. Now, I want to challenge the church to not live a double life and to allow yourself to live one complete life in Jesus instead of two separate lives. Jesus wants us to surrender our lives to him, and he promises that he will be with us wherever we go. Thank you. I'm now going to invite up our next speaker, Malachi Lindsay.
Good morning, Marine Covenant. My name is Malachi Lindsay, and I'm a senior at San Marin High, and I'll be your third and final mini preacher for today. In consideration of time, I'll try to make this short and sweet, but deep and impactful. A contradiction, but I think I can do it. I was raised in the church. For as long as I can remember, Sundays are days of reverence and worship. Sometimes errands, but mostly worship. And even though I moved around a lot as a kid, we'd always find a church to praise the Lord. I didn't question it. I simply thought, well, that's just how things are. It wasn't until I was older that I started to question my faith and why I believed what I believed. When I was thinking about my experience in writing the sermon, I thought about the story of Jonah. God had called Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and speak out against the wickedness that was occurring there. And Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. I mean, if something had gotten so bad that even God had to step in, I wouldn't want to go either. And so Jonah ended up paying a fare to get on a boat and go in the opposite direction, away from Nineveh. And I find it interesting that the Bible says that Jonah ran away from the Lord because he was never away from the Lord. God was right by his shoulder at every moment when he bought that fare, when he got on the boat, and when he was sleeping on that boat. Now, God raised a raging storm across the waters, a storm that would threaten to tear that boat apart if nothing was done. Jonah did not want to hurt innocent people who were on the boat for the actions that he had taken. So he asked the crew to throw him overboard in order to soothe the waters. Jonah 15 and 17 say, Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. When I was a kid, and I mean more than a decade ago kind of kid, I thought I had my whole life figured out. I was going to study chemistry and biology, become a renowned researcher in the scientific community, go at MIT, Stanford, Berkeley, UCLA, you name it, getting my PhD. Boy, was I wrong. I was in the San Marin STEM program for my freshman and sophomore year, and after sophomore year, I never wanted to see a molecule or cell ever again. I was distraught. I was disconnected and lost. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And I thought I had it figured out, but in a single season, it changed, it went away. And at this point, I'd been taking my life into my own hands thanks of this youth program at this church and the events that we had had. And I started questioning, why do I believe this? Why am I a Christian? What am I gonna do? So I prayed, I mean really prayed, on my knees before bed, at the sink, brushing my teeth in the morning, every meal, just asking for God to give me a sign. And Jonah prayed too, though while I felt like I was in the belly of a fish, Jonah was actually in the belly of a fish. So his prayers were a tad bit more urgent, just a bit. And Jonah 2, 1 through 10 say that, from the inside of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath bared me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, my moment of dry land was when my father had invited me to take a shoot with him, a camera shoot, over the summer. And I started falling in love with film. Over the next 2 years, I would continue to go on shoots, do amazing projects, and work on skills I never knew I had. God had answered my prayers, and in fact, he was always listening. He just had to find the right time when I would be willing to hear. We've all had our moments in the belly of the fish, whether it be relationships, school, work. We've either been there, we're in it right now, or we're walking into it and we just don't know it. A place where we can't tell the difference between a wall and our own hand. It's dark, sticky, damp, smells a little fishy. A place where we feel lost, and it seems there's no way out. But do you want to know what the amazing thing is? God will never let us be digested in the belly of the fish. He is always waiting for us to reach out and ask. We just have to be ready to receive. My invitation for this church is to not only be more open to God asking to help you, into asking God to help you out of the jaws of the whale, but that you are ready to receive the help that God has to offer. Let your spirit and not your body do the listening. And when you are ready to ask as well as receive, God will be right there to help you out of that whale. I'm now going to invite the band back up as we bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all the wonderful people that came out here today to support the fellow seniors. I want to thank you for the lives of the seniors that are here with us today that were brave enough to lead the couch time, to lead the band, to do the speaking, and the rest that will follow. I thank you for this congregation and the amount of support that they are willing to give us. I pray that you open up these people's spiritual ears, and that they'll be ready to receive the help and gifts and love that you have to offer. That you stand with us in times of trouble, and you walk with us in times of grace. I thank you for this day. Amen.